Okay. Praise the Lord. John 8, look in verse 30. As he spoke these things. Now, who's talking here? Do you guys got the red letter Bible there? As he spoke these things, who's speaking? Jesus. As Jesus was talking, who is Jesus? He's the life of the Father. Came down from heaven. And as Jesus, as life was talking, many came to believe in him. How many knows when life is around, it's attractive? Many came to believe in him. The life of the Father came down. We'll get into that in just a second. But the life of that was with the Father came down and manifested to us. And many believed in him. Somebody say believed. They believed in him. Now watch this. Jesus, therefore, because there were many that believed, he said to the Jews who had believed, they already believed, he said, if you abide in my word, and now, let me stop right there for just a second, because people get religious. This book is, people are so religious about the book, they can't see what he's saying. Do you know at this time that there was no Bible like we have? They had old covenant scriptures on scrolls, and those scriptures were kept in the synagogues. Some families that had money, because they're fairly expensive, to buy those on papyrus. I mean, they had to work. You couldn't, there was no printer. It was expensive to buy for someone to write all of that on. It was very expensive. So rich people had some scrolls in their home, some, very few. And then they kept scrolls in the synagogue. But Jesus was walking around and said, Jesus said this, if you will continue in my word. Now, was he talking about reading the Bible? He wasn't talking about reading the Bible, even though today we have a lot of what he said written down. Jesus wasn't talking about what was written down. As a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked the Jews because they thought they obtained life by what was written down. The Bible said this, that Jesus rebuked them. He said, you think that by the scriptures you obtain life, and you refuse to come to me, and I would give you life. You see, because they were like many of us. They were religious. They would read the scriptures, and they thought that by being religious and by reading the scriptures that they would have life. And Jesus said, no, you're not thinking right. So when Jesus is saying here, if you continue in my word, he's not talking about if you'll read the scriptures every day. He's talking about if you'll keep hearing what I'm saying. Because somebody say amen. If you'll keep hearing what I am saying. What does the Bible say? A man should not live on bread alone, but what? Every word that does what?
Proceeds.
How many knows it doesn't say every word that proceeded? Some of y'all nervous. You think I'm going to put the Bible down or something. No, I love the Bible. I read it every day. But you do not live it. Listen, I read the Bible for 20 years before I understood the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit's the only one that can give you life. He's the only one that can really show you the truth. But God didn't say you live by the words that proceeded. What's amazing to me is there's 1,000 different denominations preaching 1,000 different things, and none of them are raising the dead. But they're all studying the Bible. They're all studying the scriptures. They're all going to Bible college, and they all think they've got the right thing. They all think they've got the corner on it. But Jesus said, it's not by studying the scripture that you find life. He said, it's by continuing in what I am saying. Continuing in what I am saying. You know why God sent the Holy Spirit? So that the Holy Spirit can continue speaking into your spiritual ear what he is currently saying. You've got to hear from him. If you hear from him today, if you're hearing from him, that's why he said, today, if you what? Hear my voice. Harden not your heart. Today, he's talking about entering into his rest. Man, we're going to get somewhere in just a second. I get excited. But he said, today, if you hear my voice, he said, don't harden your heart, as they did in the wilderness. Today, if you hear my voice. And he talks about that in the Old Covenant. He said, I told them this is my resting place. But they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear me. So my word became unto them dew upon dew, precept upon precept, law upon law. How many's ever heard that quoted as a positive thing? His word is dew upon dew, precept. Go look that up. That is a rebuke. When God's word became law upon law, precept upon precept, it was because his people refused to hear his voice. So the reason he had to give them something written down is because they were refusing to listen to what he was saying. Now Jesus is here with the people who were all about what was written down. Because what did he say right here? He said to the Jews that believe. Look back at that. Look in verse 31. This is Jesus, comes down from heaven, the life of the Father. And he says to them who were depending on what was written down, To them who believed on him, he said, if you will continue in my word, what I'm saying. How many knows, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Jesus is bigger than a person in a locality. Jesus is the life of the Father. Didn't he say that? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can get to the Father except through. He wasn't talking about the Christian religion. Jesus didn't come to start another religion. He was the life that came out of heaven that said, without me, you can't get to the Father. Can somebody say amen? I mean, I've been religious Christians. Well, Jesus, Christianity is the only religion. It's the only right way. And I was so in the dark, I didn't understand. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm going to start a new religion and it's the right one. Jesus was saying, I am the life of the Father. Without me, without this life, that's why he said, eat of me and drink of me, or you don't have any what? You don't have any life in you. If you don't eat of me and drink of me, you have no life in you. That's what Jesus said. So without the life of the Father, we can't get to the Father. We're going to get to that in just a second. But here's this life walking around talking. Somebody said life talking. That's what it was. It was the life of the Father. Matter of fact, hold your finger there. Let me look in 1 John real quick, and we'll go back. Because I want you to see this, because that may sound, I may be saying that in a way that sounds unique to you, that you haven't heard it mentioned like that. But let me show this to you. How many heard John 3:16 and all that? We may go to John 3:14 in a minute, but everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. And that word everlasting is eternal right there. It's aeon. Eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. Jesus said, I am the life. I want you to see this, because how many whenever, it's at least at one time, you may still think this way, but how many when you hear, for God so loved the world, if I believe in Jesus, then I get to go to heaven. How many thought that that's what he meant by eternal life, everlasting life? That's what I thought he meant for a long time. But he wasn't talking about what happens when you die. Watch this right here in 1 John. I forgot to turn there. Did y'all? Oh, no, I didn't. I stuck my phone in. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, not the Gospel John. 1 John chapter 1. Look in verse number 2. And the life, someone say the life. The life was manifested. What does manifested mean? What we couldn't see showed up. Amen. How many wants God to manifest his presence? To manifest his glory. I mean, shout out to my glory. How many wants God to manifest his presence? I don't want to just believe in God and never have a manifestation. Never have the presence and the power of God show up. I want the manifestation of what he has provided. How many know Jesus conquered every devil on the cross? He conquered them all. How many wants to see what he did manifest in the world? What he did manifest. You know, when life walked around, you know, now first of all, Jesus walked around for 30 years, nothing was happening. But when it was time, when life was manifested, when it showed up, he didn't have to go find devils. They came and found him. Amen. What would you have us do? Amen. They found him. Remember when he went, the first thing, he goes in the temple, he starts speaking, it's fulfilled this day. And the devil, that one of the demon-possessed people stands up, I know who you are. Jesus said, be quiet. Jesus didn't have to go find somebody. They found him. The sick found him. The possessed found him. He didn't have to go find anybody. Life manifested. Don't you want to see what he accomplished manifesting in the earth? Do y'all really believe what he finished is really fully manifesting in the world right now? Didn't Jesus say, what I did, you will do, and you will do greater than these things? I do not see that right now. It is not fully manifesting what Jesus has paid for us to have. But watch this. How did I get on that? Look at that. Because it said manifested. See, I just get messed up with a word like that. Look at that. Life was manifested, and we have seen it. Some say we saw it. What did they see? It's not a trick question. Life. They saw life. How do you see life? He said, life was manifest, and we have seen it, and we bear witness. Watch this. And we proclaim to you the what? What does y'all's version say right there? We proclaim to you the eternal life. Say something like that. We proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father. The eternal life was with the Father, and it has been manifested to us. The eternal life. Someone say the eternal life. Now, what did John 3:16 say? That if we believe in him, we can have what? So eternal life is not talking about what happens when you die. It's talking about what was in heaven and came down and was manifested to us. It was manifested, the what? The eternal life that was with the Father. And what's amazing, it said, we saw it. We saw it, man. I mean, imagine somebody come up to you. That's a witness right there. Man, have you seen the eternal life? If we said something like that, people look at us like we're crazy. Even our own Christian friends look at us like, hey, Judy, did you see the eternal life? He's like, what are you talking about? I got eternal life. I believe in Jesus. I got eternal life. But he's talking about something they saw. He even says we handled it. We handled it. He said we touched it. We touched it. We listened to it. The eternal life. Somebody said the eternal life. The eternal life that was with the Father has come down and been manifested to us. Let's finish that verse and we'll go back. I keep flipping my Bible. He said, the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, what we have seen and what we have heard we proclaim to you. What were they proclaiming? John was proclaiming what he had seen and what he had heard. What did he see and what did he hear? The eternal life that was with the Father has come down and has been manifested to us. Now go back to John 8. Did y'all hold your finger there? Did you forget about that? Watch this right here. Here's life. How many knows nobody knew, except for his disciples they found out, but people did not know that that was life walking around. They thought that was Jesus from Nazareth, you know. They didn't realize that was life walking around. That's why when he said, hey, eat my flesh, drink my blood, or you don't have any? You don't have any life in you. A couple of y'all remembered that. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no? Life in you. You know what we've done with Jesus? Before I go even further, I've got to say. What we have done with Jesus is we've made another religion for people to follow. But Jesus didn't come to make a religion for people to follow. He came for you to eat of him and to drink of him because he is the only way. Not the religion of Christianity, but the substance called eternal life is the only way. Now, this is radically different than many people think. They think you receive, like you say this prayer, and now when you die, you go to heaven. But that's not what it's about. There is a life, it's called Jesus, that if we eat of it and we drink of it, we can get to the Father. That's the only way to get there. It's the only way. Now, watch this, because this is interesting. We've got to start like this. Now we can get started. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said, if you abide in my word, verse 31, then you are my disciples indeed. And look at, now hold on, who's he talking to? Back up in verse 30. As he spoke these things, many what?
Jews
came to believe in him. So is he talking to unbelievers or believers?
Believers.
He's talking to believers. How many is a believer in here? I believe. He's talking to believers. Now here's what life says to believers. He says to believers, if you continue in my word, to them who believed, Jesus said, to them who believed, the life said, if you will continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what?
Make you free.
It will make you free. Now watch this. Eternal life is talking to the believers. How many believers do we have? So do you know that you can believe in Jesus and not know the truth? You can believe in Jesus. And as a matter of fact, I found out, I pastored for a lot of years, and I was saying what God was telling me to say, and they were tidbits of the gospel, but I did not really understand the gospel. I didn't really grasp that I died with him. Matter of fact, it was a couple of years before I stopped pastoring that I even started preaching that we died with him. We were crucified with him. It's not, God is not calling you to follow the life. He's calling you to believe in it, to eat of it, to drink of it, and to believe in what he did with your life. Because you were born with life, weren't you? You have some life in you. Where did you get the life that you have in you? I'm not talking about your spiritual life when you're born again. Where'd you get your life from?
Well, I received it from the Father.
Well, where'd you get your physical, natural life from? Adam, your parents. Your parents did something, unless you're a test tube baby, you know, something like that. Your parents did something. And you came into the world. Amen. That's where you got your life from. You were born into the world, a natural person. You have a natural life. Religion is all about your life. It's all about working on your life. It's all about fixing your life. It's all about God loving your life. But religion does not tell you that there is another life that you need. I know we have this in Christianity. We say, you need to receive Jesus. But most people really don't comprehend the difference of what they're talking about. Now, here's the thing. You cannot receive Jesus, the life of God, unless your life that you have dies. Because somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm not going to start preaching, you got to die to yourself. Listen, Jesus crucified your life. He crucified your life. Now, if you don't begin to grasp that, you're going to be trying to fix your life for Jesus. Does that make any sense to you? I only have just a few minutes here tonight, so I can't go as long as I would like to. So I'm going to try to go quickly here. But he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll make you free. Let me calm down for a second and say this. Everything in our life that is bondage, everything in our life that it keeps us bound in something, whether it be fear, anxiety, unbelief, stress, whatever, nervousness, even hoping I'm good enough, hoping I make it to heaven. All of the fears and the anxieties and the stress and all of those things that are upon mankind, you will be completely delivered if you know the truth. But you can believe without knowing. You can believe in Him and not know the truth. And so, let's go to John chapter 3. Look in verse 14 for me. How many wants to know? Two of you? I want to know. I want to know what Jesus has done for me. I want to understand. I spent a lot of years trying to, and I know you guys have too, a lot of years, some of it, I wasn't trying. Other years, I was trying to be a good person or to be a good Christian, amen, or to live for God, to do what God wanted me to do. How many wants to be pleasing to the Lord? You want to be pleasing to the Lord. You want your life to be pleasing to the Lord. The biggest shock that ever happened to me was when I found out that my life will never be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I always thought that if I add Jesus to my life, that it will make my life acceptable to the Father. I thought if I receive Jesus, because that's what I was taught. It's like if you'll receive Jesus into your what? Receive Jesus into your heart, and then you're accepted to the Father. Well, what I heard is what everybody hears. If Jeff will receive Jesus, then God will accept Jeff. Then God will receive Jeff. So when I receive Jesus, I receive Him and I'm trying to fix Jeff with Him. I want Jeff to be acceptable to Him. And so I thought, well, Jesus came to help Jeff because Jeff needs lots and lots of help. And don't say amen, Brother John. I'm just kidding. Jeff, yeah, I'm just teasing. But my wife's over there being real quiet. Jeff needs lots and lots of help. And I used to think whenever I got right with God, maybe in 20 or 40 years I'll be finished. You know, it's a long work. I mean, some of y'all may be done in a year, but it's going to take me at least 40 or 50 years because I'm a mess. And I thought that I'm going to get better as time goes on. That God gave me Jesus to improve my life. God gave me Jesus to help my life, to strengthen my life. And I thought I need to live my life for God. And nobody was telling me, because they don't know, nobody was telling me that my life had to die. That watch this, watch about, how many knows eternal life came down? We have seen it.
Yes.
Now watch this. Go to John chapter 3. We talked about this before, but I want you to see this. John chapter 3. Everybody knows verse 16, right? Okay, but what about verse 14? Look at that. As Moses lifted up what? The serpent. Somebody said the serpent. I know somebody have heard this before. I've talked about this, but well, I want you to get this tonight because we're talking about the eternal life that came down from the Father. We need what came down from the Father or we can't get to Him. We can't. We need what came down from Him. And we need to comprehend what He accomplished or we cannot enter into what He has done. We can't enter into that until we comprehend what happened there. Because we're all still trying to fix the life we were born with Jesus. Add Jesus to it, fix it, hope God accepts me. But watch this right here. This is powerful because the eternal life came down from the Father, right? We saw it. We felt it. Now, how am I going to get that? Watch this. Look in verse 14 right there. It says, as Moses lifted up the what? The serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. Somebody read that for me. Verse 15. Somebody say eternal life. Remember, eternal life has nothing to do with what happens when we die. Eternal life is what came down out of heaven, and we felt it, and we saw it, and we walked with it, we experienced it, we touched it. The eternal life that was with the Father has manifested itself unto us. Now, the Bible said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, somebody say the serpent, in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that all who what? Believe in him wouldn't perish but have what came out of heaven. Now I know most of us, we have some concept of being born again. We have some but I think the thing that most of us miss is it's not Jeff who's fixed. To be born again means to receive a brand new what? Life. And that brand new life is that life that was with the Father, that came down out of heaven and presented itself to us. That life that came down from the Father. Now, for me to receive that life, I have got to get rid of this one. This one's my problem. This one's my problem. How many knows it ain't somebody else ain't your problem? It's you. The problem is me. The problem is not this person and that person. The problem is me. And it's all of us. It's all of us. There is none of us. We think there are because we judge based on behavior. We think there are some of us that are better than others. There are some that are even more religious. There are some that are doing better on the outside. Those are the ones you really got to watch out for, matter of fact. I found that out the hard way. The ones you really got to watch out for are the ones that think that they're pretty good. The ones that think that they're doing a good job. Now watch this, because you got to understand this. As Moses lifted up what?
The serpent.
The serpent. Now what is the serpent? What is that all about? He who knew no sin did what?
Became
he became sin, that we might be made the righteous of God. The Bible said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new
creation.
Now, how does a new creation have anything to do with fixing what you already had? Think about that for a second. How does a new creation have anything to do with fixing or repairing or improving what you already had? It doesn't have anything at all to do with that. It doesn't have anything to do with that at all. As a matter of fact, Paul said, how can you, being dead to sin, live in it any longer? Or do you not know? Someone say, do you not know? What did Jesus say to them that believed? He said, if you'll continue in what I'm saying, then you will know the... Someone say, no. So it's possible to believe and not know. If I don't know what happened there, I'm not going to be confessing that. I'm not going to be believing. I haven't heard people preach that you died. Everybody's told me Jesus died, and I appreciate that. I'm glad. You know, I always heard Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you, Brian. Jesus died for you, Jennifer. And I'm like, thank God. Somebody needed to. Amen. I thank God. Now he loves me. Now he accepts me. And you know what? That sounds wonderful, but you stay a mess. Because Jesus didn't die for you so he can accept you. Jesus crucified you. He crucified the life you were born with. Someone said, then why do I still have to deal with it all the time? Why do I still see it? Why is it still such a mess? Why is it still so imperfect? Because nobody told you that he did that. You haven't believed that he did that. And so you haven't confessed that he did that. So I was talking to Darlene about this, about when sickness and stuff like that tries to come. What we do is anytime stuff like that happens, we become self-focused and we start thinking, man, I need to get this thing fixed. And I need Jesus to do something. I need Jesus to do something for me. I need Jesus to heal me. What did I do wrong? Anybody ever thought like that? What did I do wrong? Where did I miss it? Where did I open the door? Listen, everything you did was wrong. Just go ahead and get that in your head. Even the times you prayed and the times you fasted and the time, everything you did is tainted because the life you were born with is tainted, even when it does its very best. Even when it does its very best. And the only way that the life that came down from the Father is going to manifest is when you start believing and you start being convinced by the Spirit By continuing to listen to what he's saying, you start believing that you died there just as well as he died there. And the life that you now have is not Jesus with you helping you. The life that you now have is the life of Jesus Christ. And it is seated at the right hand of God. And the only way to get that life to quit harassing you, that's always harassing you, even when you're good, that's always harassing you, is to know what Jesus did with it. Now, why didn't God just tell us this? If I had time, I'd really get into the difference of the old covenant and the new. But let me just say this. The old covenant was to show you what I'm talking about. That's why it came. If you don't get it yet, keep going after him and you will. The old covenant was put in place to show you that with God's power, presence, word, glory, it was all in the old covenant. With all the miracles, everything that was there, not a single person with the power of God, with the word of God, with every tool that God gave them, not a single one could be truly what? Righteous. Not a single one. That's a good tune. Amen. Praise God, is that a phone? But not a single one could produce it. Now, when we read the Old Covenant, we see a type of righteousness. I remember growing up as a Christian, I wanted to be like so-and-so in the Bible. I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like so-and-so. I don't want to be like none of them. Amen. I don't want to be like any of them. Amen. I want to walk in the life that God has for me, and that's called Jesus. I don't want to be like David. I don't want to be like whoever. I don't want to be like none of them. Why? They had to die too. You know, none of them could go to heaven. When they died, no matter how many, even Abraham. Abraham, he believed God. It was counted unto him as righteous, but he wasn't righteous. None of them were righteous. You cannot be righteous. Even though you can try your hardest, you can do everything God, try to do everything God wants you to do. And the old covenant was put in place to reveal to you the iniquity that is in the life you were born with. Until, now this is why many religious people need to continue to hear, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. They need to continue to hear until they have exasperated their strength and they find out that even on their best day, they're still a mess. Now, it takes a long time for some of us to figure that out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many's ever felt like I'm doing pretty good? I didn't cuss all week. You know what I'm saying? I haven't lusted in 35 minutes. I'm doing really well. You know? It's been 3 days since I looked at a woman the wrong way. Or 3 years. Boy, you're really going then. I remember I didn't watch TV for over 3 years. I thought, I've got it now. I fast all the time. I didn't watch TV. And what I found out is my flesh never changed. It didn't change at all. I thought I could fix it. With God. Amen. With God. And somebody praying for me. I needed somebody to lay hands on me. And I needed the anointing. I'm going to get this thing done. I'm going to accomplish this. I mean, how many has read the scripture? God looked for someone to stand in the gap. I was in my room praying, let that be this one. Amen. Anybody ever want to be the one? Amen. I want to be the one. I know nobody else can do it, but God, I'll do it. I got Jesus. Now I can do it. Do you know what? You're not the one. But there was one that he found. There was one that he found. And there's only one life that's pleasing to the Father. Now, the reason I'm preaching this is because we are all, programmed. We are all programmed to be life of Adam minded. That's what we were born as. Every one of us are programmed to be life of Adam. What do I mean by life of Adam? The life you were born with. Jessica's programmed to be Jessica-minded. And when she's not being Jessica-minded, she's being Bryce-minded or Shad-minded or whoever else is around her minded. And this is why when we come to God to get Jeff fixed, and then we start trying to help get Justin to get Justin fixed. And if Justin don't want to get fixed, we judge Justin for not getting fixed, because if he'd come and get fixed, he'd be like me. And you know why? Because we are life of Adam-minded. It's what we are. Because religion will always make you life of Adam-minded. It always will. It'll always get you to focus on your life and the life of others. And here's the answer you will offer people. Jesus will help you fix your life. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. And a lot of people give that a try, and for some of them it seems to be working, and for others they said, I tried that. It didn't work like you said it was going to work. You know what? That is not the gospel. The gospel is not that Jesus loves your life. The gospel is so much better than that. The gospel is that Jesus has, somebody say has. He has crucified your life. He has. Then why do I keep seeing it? That was my question. If he did it, then why do I keep seeing it? How many ever gets tired of dealing with you? Am I the only one? I mean, maybe I'm preaching to good people here tonight. But how many ever gets tired of dealing with you? How many ever thought you were getting good and then you got even badder? The word badder is not better, but you thought you were getting worser. You know what I'm talking about. You thought you were doing well. Anybody having a good season? Man, I had seasons before where I didn't think I was doing anything. Some of y'all think, I don't know if I had a good season. Maybe a couple weeks. But you think you have a good... Listen, the worst shape you can ever get in is to be standing there holding your Bible, feeling like I am doing what God wants me to do, but you're not. That's exactly what happened when Jesus came. Listen, Jesus didn't have a hard time with people who were broken, with people who said, I can't do anything. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I can't do anything. He didn't have a hard time with them. Why is this? Do you think Jesus likes people that sin more than others? It had nothing to do with that. You know what Jesus is attracted to? People that are done with themselves. People that are not looking at themselves and thinking they're accomplishing anything that's being pleasing to God. That's who he's attracted to. He's attracted to people who have found out the hard way. They found out that there's nothing in here that's valuable that I can offer to him. And then the Holy Spirit begins to help them to see what he accomplished. But the whole world, everything, our churches, our religion, I'm not against going to church. I'm going to church, President. I like going to church. And we need to hear what we need to hear. We need to hear. Don't stop going to church. But everything, even churches, most of our religion, everything is programmed to keep you life of Adam minded. It's all about you. It's all about working on you. It's all about fixing you. It's all about what you've done and what you haven't done. I remember when things happened, when something would go wrong. Like, how many's ever got a bad diagnosis? We've got several in here that have got that. What happens when something like that, you start soul searching, don't you? Everybody starts soul searching. What did I do wrong? What did I do? You know what? That's proof that you're life of Adam minded. It's proof. It's the evidence. It's the evidence. How many struggles anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many struggle with guilt, shame, condemnation. Now some of y'all are doing better than others, but you still struggle with that. And others, I struggle with it all the time. That's a manifestation that you might believe in Jesus, but you don't yet know what he did. Because if you knew what he did, you wouldn't be thinking about your life. You wouldn't be thinking about it anymore, would you, little guy? Amen. I like that little guy. You wouldn't be thinking about your life. You would be believing in what he accomplished. What time is it? Am I going too long? I feel like I just got started. But I know some of y'all got to go to bed before 10 o'clock. I look over there tomorrow. What time is it? We only been going for 5 minutes. Oh, God in heaven, help us to get this. I couldn't understand really, which I've shared this experience with you guys, but I want to share it again. I could not really comprehend. I had a lot of this. 1995, God showed me some things that rocked my world. But I didn't really fully grasp it until I had an encounter experience. I'm not even going to try to explain it. But what happened in that encounter, in that experience, was that God showed me that this is not a partnership with me and Jesus. He said, to him who overcomes, will I give a right to sit? I thought that's Jeff. If Jeff overcomes, then Jeff can sit with Jesus. Mm-hmm. What God did is God showed me the right-hand seat. And he said something to me that shocked my system. He shocked me. He said, there's only one life that can sit here. He said, there's only one life that can sit here. And then he said, this is not a partnership with Al and Jesus. No, he said Jeff. But he said, this is not a partnership with Jeff and Jesus. It was the first time. I'd pastored for 14 years. It was the first time I had been preaching there. At that point, I'd already been preaching for about 2.5 years that we died with Jesus. But I did not really. I was still trying to find something in Jeff that was valuable. Something that I could offer to the Lord. Some type of behavior. Something that I could do that would be pleasing to the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. Those feelings where you feel like I'm just not good enough. Anybody ever feel that? Anybody ever go through that? It's like, I'm just not good enough. Even when I would pray 5 hours every day and fast 2 days every week and read at least an hour a day, I still had that nagging feeling deep down inside that I'm just not good enough. Now, some people will just go ahead and throw in the towel and say, I believe in God, it's good. And they don't even want to think much about it because they don't want to go through all that. They don't want to press in and find that out. They don't want to, they just quit going after God because they get tired of dealing with all that stress and worry. I'm just going to trust the Lord. Amen. But if you'll press in, you'll find these things out, but they're painful. It's difficult. When you really want to know Him, when you really want to know the truth, it's a difficult journey because God has to show you that you need to quit trying to find the answer by trying to fix you or by trying to offer you or by worrying about you, or by being guilty, or by being ashamed, or by thinking that I'm good today and bad tomorrow. And you need to find out what He did. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent. You want to know why He lifted up the serpent? Because that's what you were born as. This is what people don't want to hear this, man. They'll kill you. I have to preach this in the house so y'all don't kill me. Because in the church, you just kick me out. You can't kick me out. Well, I guess you could. I'll probably get back in eventually. But, you know, people don't want to hear this. People want to hear how much God loves them. They don't want to hear that there's nothing valuable in the life you're born with. They don't want to hear that. It's offensive. It's offensive, especially when you've been working on this thing for a long time. That makes you even madder when you've been working on you for a while, and then all of a sudden you find out there's nothing there of value, even if you've taken 20 years to mold it and shape it. And He didn't come to fix you. He came to show you you're unfixable. Now, at first, that's bad news. At first, that's hard to take. But when you begin to find out the life you were made for, when you begin to find out your identity in Christ, that the life that you now have is seated at the right hand, if I have the right hand seat life, why aren't the dead being raised? Because we don't believe we've got the right hand seat life. We're trying to please the right hand seat life. We're trying to pray to the right hand seat life. Listen, of course we pray. But we pray with an understanding of what He accomplished. Most of us are praying for Him to accomplish something He's already accomplished, and we're down here begging from below instead of believing from above where He has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Why are you seated with Jesus? Because you died with Him. And when you were raised up, Jeff didn't come out of the grave. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, you being dead. Somebody say, I being dead. Amen. I being dead. No. God didn't put Jeff to death and then raise Jeff. God put Jeff to death once and for all. And who came out of the grave was the life of the last Adam. And I came out with it. And that is the life. That is the life that we have. Now, this sounds crazy on both sides. It sounds crazy to say that God doesn't accept me. And it sounds crazy to say that the life of Jesus is my life. That's crazy. Somebody think, well, am I supposed to pray to myself? No. You may not get it right away. It may not make sense to you right away. But this right-hand seat life is what matters. Let's close with that. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Somebody say the right-hand seat life. It's the same life that came down from heaven. It's the same life that appeared to us. Right-hand seat life. What did Paul say he was pressing toward? The mark of the what? The high calling that is where? Where is it at? That is in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling, and it's for you. Someone say, it's for me. I'm not talking about the life you were born with. It's for you because you were crucified. It's for you because you died. It's for you because He took the life you were born with and He nailed it to the cross. This is for you because of that. What is for you? The life that was with the Father that came down out of heaven. And watch, it's not about, watch this, I was talking to Bryce about this a while ago. I want y'all to get this. Because this is not about believing in Jesus because He loves me, He's my Lord, He's my God. This is about believing and understanding the serpent on the staff. The serpent on it. Somebody say the serpent.
Serpent.
You have to understand the serpent on the staff. You see, all my life, how many heard when you were little that Jesus died for you? When I was, I can't remember, I may have been 2, 4 years old. Did that affect you as a kid? It affected me as a little kid. I still remember as a kid that affecting me, hearing that he died for me. It affected, I wanted to cry. I was a little kid in church, I wanted to cry. I didn't understand why I wanted to cry. But I believed that he died for me. I believed that. And all my Christian life, I believed that he died for me. In my ups and in my downs, in my difficulties, I always believed that he died for me. So I was seeing Jesus on the cross, but I never saw the serpent on the cross. I didn't understand that. Nobody told me about that. Matter of fact, they don't even teach in Bible college. I went for a long time. I'm still taking a course now. They don't teach it in any Bible college. They don't talk about the serpent on the staff. Why is it that everybody knows John 3:16, but they don't know John 3:14? As Moses lifted up the what? The serpent. You see, it's not believing that Jesus loves you and died for you that'll save you. It's believing that Jesus became the nature, he became the sin, he became the life you were born with, and he put it to death once and for all. That is the way to real deliverance and freedom. Knowing that I died with him. Look at this with me in Colossians 3, and we'll close. You got to see this. You can believe your whole life that Jesus loves you, struggle and strive, and sometimes you'll do good and sometimes you won't. You'll start wondering if it's even real. As a matter of fact, it always made me wonder. I've seen a lot of different miracles. But how many's ever frustrated with not seeing what the Bible says? Anybody else? I'm frustrated, man. We're supposed to be raising the dead. When one person gets healed of one small ailment, we talk about it for the next 25 years while everybody else is still sick. We're supposed to be raised. Why are we? Jeff will never raise the dead. Justin will never raise it. That's our problem. Our problem is we think we'll raise the dead if we can believe enough, if we can do enough, we'll finally get there one day. The reason we're not raising the dead is because we don't understand the serpent on the staff. If we would confess what he accomplished and quit trying to accomplish it, we're not adding Christ to the life of Adam. No, 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 no. We're believing the life of Adam was crucified once and for all. It was crucified once and for all. So every time I see it, I have a choice to believe that it died or to start trying to work on it again, to start praying about it again, to start asking him to help it again. Every time I try to do that, I'm not believing what he accomplished. And so the church, hey, we're getting along. We're getting along okay, but we're not doing what Jesus did, and we're not doing greater than what Jesus did, because we're not walking in the life that he had. We think that eternal life is something we get when we die, or that we have Jesus on the inside so that even though we're a sinner, you know, God forgives us. It's so far from what he actually accomplished. Colossians 3, we are going to read that, and then I'll quit. Look in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then, somebody say if. I love these challenging questions. If. I'll say it again, if. What if it's not true? If it's not true, then forget it. I got to a point, this I believe why God finally really began to help me see. Because I got to the point I said, if this isn't true, have y'all ever felt like that before? You went through something and you said, listen, if this isn't true, I'm tired of wasting my time on it. And I told God, I said, God, where is the power? Where's the power? I've seen some creative miracles, different things, but I've seen a whole lot more not healed than I've seen healed. See, many demons cast out, stuff like that. So I know it's real, but it bothers me that we're not seeing what Jesus saw. It bothers me of how weak and powerless we really are. It bothers me. It bothers me. And so I'm like, God, if it's not real, I'm done with it. If it's not real, I don't want to play games. Who wants to play games the rest? Paul said, if this is not real, if we didn't die with him, if this didn't happen, we're worse off than anybody else. We're worse off than anybody else believing this fairy tale until we die. This is not a fairy tale. The reason there's no power in it, the reason we need religion to follow this, is because we don't really know what he did. We don't really know what he accomplished, and that's not what we're being taught. Nobody taught me in church that I died with him. They taught me I need to stop sinning, or I'm going to go to hell. That's what I was taught. Anybody else? I need to stop sinning, or I'm going to go to hell. Stop sinning. I said, amen. Praise the Lord. So I prayed for the Holy Ghost so I could stop sinning. And I got the Holy Ghost, and I stopped sinning for about 10 minutes. And I thought I wasn't sinning, but what I found out is sin's connected to everything you're doing. You know, even if you're not doing something wrong on the outside that people think is sin, sin is a part of the being that you were born with. Even when you start getting spiritual, you start wanting people to look up to you. You start wanting to be the one. You start wanting to be the one that God exalts, the one that God sits above his peers. All that starts happening. Sin is a part of the being of Adam. It's a part of the being. It's not something you just that you do on the outside. It's a part of the being that you are. So we'll read Colossians 3 and I'll quit. Like I said, if then you have been raised up with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I wonder how much of our prayers and seeking of God is trying to find out what is at the right hand. What's at the right hand? For those that have a bad diagnosis, there's a life there that doesn't have cancer. There's a life there that doesn't have lust, perverted lust. There's a life there that doesn't have anxiety and fear. There's a life there that has authority over every power, over every name that's named, over all principalities. I need to find out. Why do I need to find out what's there? Read that verse again. If then you have been. If you have been. Some of you have been. That's what we were talking about. If you have been. Not if you will be. If you have been raised up together with him, you need to find out what's there. You need to find out where you're seated. You need to find that out. Why? Because that is what you need. You need to know what is at the right hand of God. Well, look at the rest of this real quick. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. Is anybody else in here dealing with things on the earth besides me? How many of y'all is dealing with some things on the earth? Things on the earth. Look at your neighbor. There's some things on that earth right there. Sorry, Judy. There's some things on that earth too, isn't there, Judy? You see, your problem, how many knows your problem is not the caterpillar? You're focused on the things that are on the earth. How many married people we got in here? Do you know when you're focused on your spouse, trying to fix your spouse, or worried about your spouse, or going through all kinds of trouble with your spouse, which every single person in here goes through, all of us. You are focused on the what? You're focused on the things that are on the earth. A lot of people think the earth's talking about the devil, all his stuff. No. The Bible said that the earth, we are earthen vessels. What are you focused on when you're trying to live for God? When you're trying to do what's right? You're focused on the what? On the earth. If you're trying to overcome lust, if you're trying to overcome fear, if you're trying to overcome, you know what you're doing? You're looking at the earth and you're focused on it. You're like, I got to get that out of this earth. I got to fix this earth. I got to take care of what's wrong in this earth. I mean, you're in an earthen vessel. You're focused on the earth. You're focused on what is on the earth. And he said, don't do that. Now, this used to mess me up because I'm like, if I don't focus on it, I'm never going to get it fixed. You know, most of us go to church to focus on what's on the earth. That's what we do. We go to church every week to focus on what's on the earth. I need to be more loving. I need to be more kind. I need to be more patient. You know what I'm talking about? We're focusing on what's on the earth. What's wrong with the earth? What's messed up? What needs changed in this earthen vessel? And he said, don't do that. He said, if you died with him, if you've been raised up with him, focus on what's up there. Find out what's there. Find out what's there. Understand the serpent on the staff. Every time now that I see anything that is sinful, anything that is not like Jesus, I don't ever think, not one second, do I need to fix it. Not one second do I ask God to help me with it. I believe what he did. Thank you, Father, you crucified this natural man. Thank you, Father, you crucified this flesh. And the life that I now have is a sinless life. It's a perfect life. And what happens when you begin to believe what he accomplished is the power, and if I had time, I'd take it, but the power of the resurrection will quicken your mortal body. I don't believe we're really experiencing that right now in most of our church settings. How many's really experiencing the same power that rose him from the dead, quickening your mortal body when sin tries to get you? No, you're trying to rebuke it 100 times, run around, unplug the computer, and everything else that you can do to get away from it. Well, you're not experiencing the power that raised Jesus from the dead. You're checking into rehab or taking a medication or doing anything you can to, and I'm not against all those things because we need them sometimes, but the problem is we're not believing what he accomplished. You know, you should believe what he accomplished even when you're doing some of them things. Amen. If you got to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But believe what he accomplished and keep your eyes on what he accomplished. Keep confessing what he accomplished until we begin to see the power of what he accomplished manifest. Finish that last verse and we'll pray. Verse number 3. What does that say? Somebody read that. That verse, how can any human believe this? It doesn't even make sense. Somebody read that for me.
Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God through Christ.
Your crucifixion has severed your life. What is that, a new living or something?
This is the Passion Translation.
The Passion Translation. That's good. Let me hear a different. A couple different ones.
For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Which is pretty much saying the same thing. But you are what? You are dead. Imagine if you're praying to God one day, God, I really need some help with my marriage. He said, you're dead. He said, Thanks a lot. But you are dead. What does it say again? Say, you are dead. When did you die? When did you die? He said, you are dead and your life is hidden. What? Hidden with God in Christ? What's the next verse say? What's your verse? That's even crazier.
Come on, verse 4?
Was it 3 or 4? Verse 4.
When Christ, who is in italics, so we read, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory.
When Christ, who is, which says italics because it's trying to say, when Christ, our life, is what the original says. It said, for you died. Somebody say, I died. And my life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. When Christ, who is your life, appears. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Somebody say, he's my life. Somebody say, I died. He said, for you are dead, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. You know why Paul said that they kept sinning? He said this to the Romans. I really am close. I'll convince you like to see right there. That means I'm close. You know what? I'm still the same as it was. It's taking too long. But you know why Paul said they kept sinning? He said because they didn't know. They didn't know. How can you, being dead, live in sin any longer? Or do you not
know?
Do you not know? And he began to try to teach them. And he began to pray all the time that God would give them a revelation of what has taken place. You see, the problem is that real resurrection and real salvation and real power only comes one way, by believing what he's accomplished and confessing it. This is why in the wilderness, as they all began to gaze upon the serpent on the staff, what happened? The venom of that snake and all the effects of it began to just drain out as they intently looked upon the serpent on the staff. They found out what he did. Can you see how radically different this is than religion? Religion says you live for him, you serve him. Faith says he has conquered what I'm dealing with. I believe in what he's done. I confess what he's done until I see the power of what he's done begin to manifest. Amen? I quit. We just got started. But I hope you're getting this understanding. If you don't get anything else, remember the eternal life is not something you get when you die. It's not how long you're going to live. It's not where you're going to live. The eternal life is Jesus. It came down from heaven. It manifests to us. And if you want it, if you want eternal life, not to matter if you want to get saved and go to heaven. No. If you want the eternal life, then you've got to find out what he accomplished. And believe and confess what he accomplished. And you'll begin to see the power of what he did begin to manifest in your life. And you'll see the victory that has been won for you. The best news in the whole world is you don't have to win the victory. It's already been won. You've got to believe, confess, and enter into the victory that has been won on your behalf. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight that you have spoken to our heart, Lord. You're showing us the truth. Lord, you're removing blinders from eyes, even here tonight. We thank you for that. I pray, God, the veil would be torn. And Lord, we would begin to believe in Jesus like we've never believed in Jesus before. That we would begin to eat of him like we've never eaten before. That we begin to drink of him like we've never drank before. And Lord, open our eyes to what you've accomplished. That we would believe, that we would confess, and that we would lay hold of the eternal life that you have given to us. Thank you that you crucified us. None of us could accomplish or produce what you desire. So you put us to death and you've given us this precious life of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want